Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is me, Jonathan Alexander, and I'm here to host our show, Life, Laughter, Happiness. Today, I have Victoria Zadrock here. Hello, Victoria. And
hello,
my co-host, Barbara.
Is that my name right?
Yeah. Okay. And let's see here. Barbara should be here soon. Have you known Barbara for a while?
Yes, we met, we met like 25 years ago. We were both playmates at that time. We met at the mansion and then later on kept running into each other at different glamour cons and different photo shoots. But yes, we go way, way back. We're like the original, the legendary playmates. The ones that people, you know, at the time when the magazine had a 3 million subscribers and a huge popularity. So that was, you know, the 90s were really the zenith of the popularity of Playboy.
Now, Barbara's here. Are you there, Barbara?
Yes. Hi. I am so sorry to call in a little late. Hi, Victoria. Welcome.
Hi, Barbara. Hi, Barbara. I'm very excited to be on. I was just saying how you and I come from the era of the legendary playmates, right?
Yes.
At the zenith of the popularity of Playboy, the 90s were like, I think, the most popular era in terms of, you know, everything, the Playboy clubs and the Playboy TV and, like the casinos. There was just so much going on. The Playboy was literally, like, in every fabric of the society. So it was a really good era to be a playmate.
You know,
it really was.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, go ahead, Johnny.
Well, what I was going to say, and I always say this whenever we have a playmate on, is that I came to the conclusion a long time ago that the nerve center for fame in the United States is California. And the nerve center for fame in California is Los Angeles. And the nerve center for Los Angeles, for fame in Los Angeles, when it was around, though, was the Playboy Mansion.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I just wanted to say, a lot of people don't realize that they had so much money at that time, more than ever. They were booming, like you said, reopening everything up and the casinos and Hef, too. He was young. He was vibrant. You know, the playmates kind of at the end, they didn't get the Hef that we knew.
That's true. And the parties were better. Everything was more extravagant. There was a lot more money to be spent on promotions, like I said, because of the launching of the TV and the casinos and the clubs. Yeah, it was a great era.
You had a lot of work, too, as a playmate. We were given, because of your point with the Playboy TV, there were so many videos to shoot. We were booked all the time.
Mm-hmm.
All the covers,
yeah.
and this hour is all about you, and we want to know all about you. I just wish that I would have been here right when you guys got on, because I don't even know what I missed. I thought I missed like 1 minute, but it sounds like you are engrossed in a conversation, because I didn't even get to properly introduce you.
Yeah, we do that.
How
now.
Did Johnny do with your introduction?
Well, he got my last name right. So I applaud that. He was able to pronounce it, right, because most Americans can't. You know, they have a hard time with Zadrock.
Zadrock.
So, you know, it's three consonants in a row. Yeah, you got it. And that's it. So, yes, I was a playmate in 94, and then I had a good run with Playboy. I did their catalogs. Remember catalogs? I shot a ton of those and the newsstand specials. That was a lot of covers. Yeah,
so
a lot of covers.
To point that out, because you had some beautiful covers, probably several, right? Can you name all your covers?
Yeah, I was on the cover Wet and Wild. That turned out to be really beautiful. And then I had one Nude Playmates one with Alicia Oreskovich. We were good friends. And then the Reader's Choice Supermodel was down to the six of us. I think Ellie Baggett won that year. So, yeah, I've had that.
She wasn't even a playmate, though.
Yeah, but remember, Yeah, for newsstand specials, they had that reader's choice supermodel where readers got to pick their favorites. So they didn't have to be a playmate. It was everyone, like, that did the books, and I did those regularly.
Yeah,
yeah,
and
there was,
the,
like, a lot
like
of opportunity.
So much opportunity.
And then I did, the Sexy Lingerie 4 video was part of that. I forgot all there were a lot. There was, like I said, there was so much work back then.
But, Victoria, you were one of the favorites because some Playmates didn't get any covers, not even of a newsstand special. I did all those, too. I did the nudes, the Sexy Lingerie, and the Wet n' Wild, too, and then some.
Yeah.
But, see, you know, you were a little bit after me. I was 92, and what year were you again?
94.
Right. Yeah,
yeah,
so
we're
then
very
you
close.
Were the next one that they always had for the covers. I mean, you're the perfect blonde. We were exchanging photos today, everybody, and the Barbie doll photos of you were so darling.
Oh, thank you.
So
you're the
cute.
Barbie. I feel like you and I sort of were, like, you know, Hef had a type for sure. There's no question. And I read somewhere that Hef's mom was like this big, tall Swedish blonde, and I think he always was impartial to blonde, blue-eyed playmates.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, it was like his thing. So he definitely preferred, like, you know, a certain look, and you and I fit within that stereotype, and those Playmates did get more work. I wasn't at the mansion as much because I've always lived on the East Coast, but Christy Hefner liked me a lot. Yeah, Christy Hefner, I was very good friends. She used to take me on all the promotions with her because, you know, I was highly educated, and she was. I remember I went with her and gave a speech together with her at the Young Presidents Association. So I was,
at that speech. Wow.
Yeah, because Christy was based in New York at that time, and she just liked me a lot. So I worked good. I had a good 10-year run with Playboy. Like, I did all those catalogs, and then the only reason I left Playboy is, I remember, so the internet came around, like, what, 1996, we all started our own websites. Yeah, and the reason I had a falling out with Playboy is because my site was very popular at that time, Planet Victoria. Now, I couldn't get that name back, so I have Play Pet Victoria, but back then I had Planet Victoria. And, Terry Weigel's was very popular. So I don't, you remember the Playboy sued Terry Weigel, and they were trying to get Playmates not to use the word Playboy Playmate in the meta tags. And then
she dragged on. It was the other Terry, though. Terry Wells is the one who
sued. Terry Wells. Yeah, she won. Yeah, Terry Wells. She won. And, the Supreme Court basically said that, like, Playboy Playmate is like Miss America or NFL player, or it's like your title and it's yours to keep for life. Like, it doesn't belong to organization, right? So, anyways, then they were telling me, well, you have to, if you want to keep working for us, you can't use the meta tags and all this stuff. And my site was doing really well, and I was making like $250,000 just from the site. And eventually came down to, I was one of the first ones, and I remember I shot for Danny's Hard Drive, all those early sites. Danny's was making like $10 million. Anyways, and I said to them, look, well, then you have to compensate me if you want me not to use meta tags. Anyways, we got into this argument, and I remember I got angry, and I said, well, if you're going to keep pushing me, I'm just going to post a penthouse. And at first, it was just a threat, right? But they kept, you know. That's what happened, and then I got the letter after I said that. I got the letter from Hef, and I still have the letter. It said, you were one of our best and brightest, and I'm really sorry to let you go. And I was, you know, I got that letter. I was really mad. So I literally went and posed for a bunch of penthouse photographers, and Carl Walker submitted me, and I became Miss June 2002 for penthouse. But it was literally it started over the website and meta tags. And
assume that you did penthouse, and that's why Hef got mad. They don't know the whole story that you're telling us now. But that does make a lot of sense, though. I mean, if he's just going to say, Well, forget you then. We don't want to compensate you. We don't want to work with you. And so see you later. Sorry we lost you. Sorry to see you go. Well, what are you supposed to do now? You don't have Playboy either. So it really just makes sense why, I mean, he's the one who kind of like made that happen.
Because of the whole meta tags issue, because without meta tags at the beginning of the internet, our fans couldn't find us. So if I took out Playboy Playmate, like Victoria, like, you know, and my name is so hard to spell, right? So people would, there was no way that they would pull up my site. And I was doing so well. Like I had, my membership was $25. I remember I had like the early count, but I was making like 200. I was on Howard Stern all the time. I was the most popular Playmate, like, cause he's right in New York. He loved me. So every time I'd go on Howard Stern, I'd make like another 10, 15 grand. And I was making like, I think at the height of my site, like 300,000 a year. And I was like, you know, I can't, like if I take out the meta tags. So it started over the meta tags, same thing with Terry Wells. So that's how the falling out happened. I really didn't want to leave Playboy, but and I think that Playboy thought that once I get the letter, I'd call him and be like all remorseful, like, please take me back. But I was very prideful and I was like, screw them, I'm just gonna. So that's how it happened. And I went in a shot with Carl Walker, and then he calls me and he's like, you know, you're going to be Miss June 2002. And I didn't expect it. In fact, I was 3 months pregnant with my daughter. And I was like, oh, my God, I had no idea. They scheduled me. So then I went to, and they were like, we want you to come meet Guccione, Bob Guccione, and the staff. So and they're New York based. So I went and met them, and I walk in and they're like, oh my God, you're so beautiful. You're so nice. You're so sweet. You're so educated. You're like a shoe-in for pet of the year. And I'm thinking, oh my God, I'm 3 months pregnant. I wasn't going to tell them. But you know, with Playboy, like to become a Playmate of the Year, it's the same year. With Penthouse, it was lagging a year behind. So I actually gave birth, got back in shape, and then 3 months later shot for my pet of the year.
Did they know by then that you were going through a pregnancy?
No, I never told them. And this is the funniest thing.
I never told them. When bounced back so well.
I have a question.
Well, then, yes.
Hold on, Johnny. We're not even finished with this talk. Hold on. Just remember
it's
your
so
question.
Weird.
But it's her really body weird. Bounced back in 3 months to after having a baby. You were able to shoot nude in 3 months. Wow.
You're gonna laugh because this is the funniest thing of all. Is that So 3 months later, they were going to test me, but they didn't choose me yet. It was down to, you know, with Penthouse, the way it works, so there's Pet of the Year and Pet of the Year runner-up. So first they choose six girls, and then they narrow down the two. And the girl, Courtney Taylor, who it was between her and I, and she was my best friend. She was the sweetest girl ever, Courtney. And I have to tell her, like, she ever listens to this, I still love her to death, because she found out that I was pregnant. And all she had to do is tell them, oh, Victoria's pregnant, and she would have won over me. She didn't. Like, that's a true friend. She never told them anything. And they tested us both, and they picked me, and she was my runner-up. So that year, we worked together because they have, like, you know, Pet of the Year and Pet of the Year runner-up work together all year and do promotions. And she was never bitter. So that was a true friend.
Wow, that really is a true friend, because you're right. That's all she had to do. And she could have told anybody else who would have told too. So she could have hidden behind that, but she didn't. That is a true friend. But how great, though, that you guys got to travel around after that and then make buku more money after that, right, with all the autograph signings?
Yeah, it was great. So, you know, it was the same kind of deal as with Playboy. Like, I got 100 grand and all these prizes. And I was the last Pet of the Year chosen by Bob Guccione. After that, the magazine was bought by Mark Bell that year, and he chose me the editor. So I became Penthouse editor. And then I worked for 7 years as Penthouse editor, and I had my own column, Dear Dr. Z. I replaced Xavier Hollander. So I wrote articles for them. I kept working for them for like another 10 years. So I had like a good two-decade run with Playboy and Penthouse. I was very lucky. And with Penthouse, it worked out well because they're New York-based. So they used me for everything. And then as I became an editor, you know, I got to work with all the other pets. But in terms of getting back in shape, this is the funny thing, is that I was so motivated. I remember I gave birth. I was going to the gym twice a day. And then I was breastfeeding, right? So my breasts were, like, huge. So when I went for the shoot, I saw all the other pets, and they're like, Victoria, did you get a boob job? And I was like, yeah, sort of. And they're like, that's the best boob job we've ever seen. But it's because they're full of milk, right? And,
mm-hmm.
And so I would go with my little black bag in the bathroom. I would pump my breasts. And then, you know, I put the milk, save it for my daughter. And I'd go outside. And then, you know, how, like, the milk would fill up and they would be just huge. So actually that photo shoot turned out to be amazing because I lost all this weight. But my breasts are so much bigger. Like, everybody thought I got a new boob job. And they're natural looking because when they fill up with milk. So everybody's like, oh, this is like the best boob job I've ever seen, whoever did that. I'm like, Mother Nature did that.
Yes, and where you can't even see any scars. Wow, you know, that's so funny. But you know what? Some people get their nipples even change when they're pregnant and after they give birth. But it doesn't sound like anything like that happened to you.
They got better. Like, they got bigger, better, right? And actually, like, darker. No, it turned out to be a really great photo shoot. I really lucked out. But I worked out really hard for 3 months. So when my first two kids, two daughters, I bounced right back. After my son, I had to have all kinds of plastic surgery. He completely messed up my body. Like, my body never bounced back. So after my son,
but
I had
years
like
later.
Abdomen. Yeah, years
right.
later, I had to redo everything.
The tummy
yeah,
tuck
yeah.
and all that? Which that is
yeah, I had to tummy
intense.
Tuck and everything.
Well,
yeah, I was lucky.
But obviously,
yeah, my daughter
worked out well.
Yeah.
It worked out well because you're still modeling.
Yeah, you know, I was younger, and when your body bounces back when you're young from pregnancy, you know, I was like, how old was I? I was 29 when I had my daughter, so I was 30 when I became Pet of the Year, and then when I had my son, I was 41. And my body was like, okay, we can't. And my body was like, not going to handle it. It was just a mess.
That's after, so, yeah, just two others. Well, just a minute, Johnny. Yes, in a second. Well, I just want to say that's very candid of you to tell everybody. You're a very open book. You're an open person. And
yeah, now I can tell everything, of course.
Thank you. Looking back.
Yeah,
thank you. Well, it makes it an interesting story. It's your real truth. It's your story. So go ahead, Johnny.
Well, I've heard there's a I used to be romantically involved with the Pet House Pet. And the thing is that I've heard there's a lot of differences between the two magazines, like mindset. Like, I've heard somewhere that Bob Guccione is a workaholic, whereas Hugh Hefner loved to party. And I've heard that what I think I've heard somewhere is that, like, the Playmates, they get bunny necklaces, and the Penthouse Pets, they get keys. Is that right?
Yeah.
So I had the key, and then I got the Pet of the Year.
I'm often wondering what the Hustler Honeys get, but that's a different topic.
I didn't do the Hustler. I thought of it, but by then I was already working with Penthouse,
what is the main differences between the two companies as far as, like, environment and how you're treated? Like, is one, how, what's the difference between, like, your, in other words, being with a bunch of Penthouse pets than being with a bunch of Playboy Playmates? What is the difference, in your opinion, or is
there
a difference?
You have to understand also, I always tell people that you have to put it in the context, it was a different era, right? So I was a Playmate in the 90s and then Pet in 2000. So it was a decade later. So by the time I met Guccione, he was kind of old. In fact, he already had throat cancer and he had a voice box. So, you know, I don't know how he was like 10 years before, or he might have been more like flirty. He was kind of serious. He was hard to talk to because of the voice box. Like, we could only understand like every second word. So he wasn't
he didn't ask him many questions. You know, if somebody has a problem, you're going to avoid a conversation mostly.
It was very hard to talk to him.
I wondered that
voice
too.
Box.
I really
so it changed a lot, and then I was friends. So his beloved wife died. So Guccione was married twice, He had kids with the first wife. He didn't have any with the second, but they were very, very close. In fact, she had helped him run the magazine. And everything they did together. Like, they would have, like, orgies with penthouse pets and stuff, but together. After she died...
Oh, they were really sexual, huh?
Yeah, they were very sexual as a couple. But after she died, she had breast cancer, galloping breast cancer. He changed a lot, and he was just with one woman, this woman, April, who was very sweet. I got along with very well, and eventually he married her. And she was, I guess, like their girlfriend. So when the wife was dying, she said, you should be with April because she's a wonderful person. And April was indeed a very sweet person. But there wasn't like a culture of partying or anything like that. Like I said, because he was sick. He already had throat cancer, and eventually he died of lung cancer. So it was a more like serious atmosphere by the time I became a penthouse pet, right? Maybe a decade ago, it would have been a lot more party. You know, they also had their own parties. They did Caligula movie. There was debauchery and all that fun stuff, but it was a decade before by the time.
Did he have a big mansion too?
Like, yeah.
Yeah, I want to know that. What's the penthouse?
Yeah. Tell us about it. We don't know about it.
There was penthouse mansion right in New York City, and it got sold eventually. Eventually, Guccione went bankrupt, and he sold the magazine to Mark. Well, it was a hostile takeover. Mark Bell took over the magazine, and I got along with Mark Bell, and I still worked for him. But the penthouse mansion got sold to billionaire Phil Falcone. So he bought that, but it was beautiful. It was like it was basically two penthouses together, and it was. Guccione brought like pieces of rare marble and rare mosaics from Italy. So it was extremely beautiful at a pool. So I shot my Pet of the Year video. I was the last person who shot Pet of the Year video at the penthouse mansion before it got sold to the billionaire Phil Falcone. So they had all that, but by the time I was, like I said, by the time I was pet, like he was kind of sick. So there wasn't a lot of partying going on. But they had penthouse promotions just like that. And the woman who ran, Dottie Meyer, was a former pet herself. She was a former Pet of the Year. She was extremely nice. She was like mother hen. So I got along really well with penthouse. But I got along with Playboy,
I can see
too.
They hired you as editor? You wrote a column for them?
Yeah, I wrote a column, and I wrote two different columns on the docket in Dear Dr. Z, Vices and Vanities. I reviewed, like, their products. It was a really great job. They would send me basically sex products, and I would write reviews of, like, the vibrators and stripper poles and all this lube.
But, really? Oh, that is a fun job, and you got paid a lot to do. A fun job. Another fun job for you. Wow.
Yeah.
I have a question before I forget about the stripper pole
sure.
thing. Because I do know that a lot of penthouse pets, after they got their title, they went out and danced because they already were erotic dancers,
exotic dancers,
and then they made so much more money, just like the average model, once she became a playmate, she's going to be able to make more money. Mm. So I don't think I knew that about you. You weren't an exotic dancer, were you?
No, I never really featured because, like I said, I was more of an intellectual, and I had this job writing kept me busy for 7 years. But my friend Lynn Thomas, do you remember Lynn Thomas? She was also, so we both transitioned to penthouse. She was a Playboy Playmate, and she became, there was only three, actually, at that time. There was me.
Terry.
Terry, too. Yeah, that was way before. That's true. That was way before our time. But there was also Lexi Carlson, the really pretty redhead later on. But Lynn Thomas was around the same time. And so she had danced a lot. She was a beautiful dancer. And so she featured, I went to see, like, she featured at the Penthouse Executive Club, which was beautiful. That all shut down, just like the Playboy Club also shut down in New York. I never featured, but she did. So I went to see a lot of her shows. She was extremely flexible. If you ever interview her, you would love her. She and I were best friends for decades, and we shot so many videos together for different companies. We did all the girl stuff together. She's half Vietnamese, half Irish. And she was extremely flexible. Like, she could do amazing stuff dancing. Like, she was like, had no bones.
Wow.
I'm like, how
well,
do you
I wondered why Tiffany Sloan, she was in my year. I don't know if you remember
her. I do know
her.
I remember. In fact, I shot one of the videos with her. I shot Playboy, one of the Playboy videos. I think it's Sexy Lingerie 4. She and I were in it together. We did a dance together.
Yes.
I
well,
have a question.
Hold on, Johnny. I really would like to finish. Okay.
Sorry.
I was in Vegas with a group of friends. We were having fun.
Yeah.
They said Tiffany Sloan, who was a playmate in my year, dances at this place. So we all went to go see her. And, oh, my gosh, she was doing backflips and, you know, front walkers, walkovers into the splits, really fancy stuff. And I got a chance to talk to her. I knew her already. I talked to her, and I said, well, you are a relatively new playmate, so why are you back here, you know, stripping? Because that's what she did before.
Yeah.
They never found out, so she made it. But she's like, Barbara, they don't pay me enough. All those promotions, it's not even close to what I make here, especially being a playmate.
Yeah.
But then I'm wondering why she didn't go one step further then and do the penthouse. But you didn't know, you don't know her, so we'll never know.
Away,
she passed away, you know. Did you know that?
Yeah, that's really tragic. I know a lot of playmates passed away. It's very
tragic.
You know,
three in my year.
Stephanie Adams died. Yeah, Stephanie Adams died. I knew her very well. She was in New York.
Me too. She was Miss November before I was December. And Anna Nicole Smith passed away, and all three of those were in my year.
Oh, wow.
That's so
sad,
huh? Yeah, a lot happened, but not a lot in, like, your year, you know. Three in a year is a lot.
Well, in my year, I think at least one Lisa Bridges, she died of a drug overdose.
Yep, 94, right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's very unfortunate. I mean, it really is very, very sad. But yeah, I know that Lynn was making like 10,000 in appearance every time she did a club appearances. She was an amazing dancer, crazy outfit. But I never was. Like I said, I had a really good job with Penthouse, and I enjoyed writing and meeting, you know, pets. So I got along with both playmates and pets, and I've met so many beautiful women over the years. I'm very lucky.
Yes,
and then Lynn and
I want to ask you about the hefting, though. Do you think that if you didn't get the falling out letter first, do you think if you just would have done Penthouse, would he have not allowed you to come up? Because I guess that is the rule once a playmate does Penthouse that you can't go to the parties. But, I mean, I looked at the timeline. You had 10 full good years working, which is pretty much enough, you know, when you think about it. That's a good amount of time to book all those covers and do all those promotions.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you got your wear out of Playboy. Anyway, I didn't know it was like so many years, 10 years in between Playboy and Penthouse, which is great, I think. But do you think that he wouldn't have talked to you anymore or invited you anymore if he didn't have the initial falling out? I want to know the rule that he had in his mind.
He probably would have gotten angry if I posed for Penthouse, because they were competitive magazines. Not so much anymore at that time, but earlier on they were very competitive when Guccione was still, you know, younger and more energetic. In fact, at one point, I didn't know that, the Penthouse used to run like these ads with like Bullseye, and it would say, we're going to get the bunny's tail. We're aiming for the bunny's tail. So they were very competitive at one point.
Not have gotten mad at a few of you guys for doing, if he would have accepted it and it would have been okay, then he would have lost probably a lot of playmates. But they loved their lifestyle, didn't they? They loved, or we loved, you know,
absolutely,
going up to the mansion, it's our second home, stuff like that. So, you know, he held that over them. But I know another person, Sandy Korn, who did Penthouse, but she tried to do Playboy. And they were just not that they weren't like moving on it fast enough for her. And then she went to see Bob, and Bob was just so gracious to her, and just the way he treated her, she said, she just said, I want to go, I want to do it, you know, because the way he treated her so well. And that was really good for me to hear that he did treat you ladies really well. And it sounds like gave a lot of ladies more opportunity after the fact as well.
Yeah, I think it was less competitive for sure. You know, I think with being a playmate, it was so competitive. A lot of women had to wait for their turn, and Penthouse definitely was less competitive. And you're right. By then I felt like, well, I've already done so much with Playboy. How much longer are they going to keep using me? And I have this great opportunity with Penthouse, and then, you know, then I became Pet of the Year and the columnist. So it was really great because I worked all the time with them until you know, and then it transitioned into when they was bought by Mark Bell, and I only ended up losing my job when Mark Bell had to sell it to bankruptcy. And ironically, Penthouse is still being published. You know, Playboy is not published anymore, but Penthouse is published four times a year. They only have four editions, and I feel like kind of bad for Centerfolds because, well, there's no more Centerfold. They have of the month, but they have to share. They have to share an issue now, like because it's only public.
That was like that for Playboy at the end too. They three had to share. Like it was seasons. It was Miss Spring, Miss Springs. Okay, Johnny, go ahead.
Well, you know, I was going to say I have been working on a side thing where I have a new internet TV network as well as a Roku channel and a internet mobile app. And there have been some people that have asked me to cover the subject of sex on it. And you said that you're a sex therapist, so I thought I'd ask this. You know, it's funny. I don't want to cover it on there with turning people off, but I think it's important to cover it. I mean, what opinion do you think you can give me about covering it that isn't
going
to...
What do you mean,
to,
turn
like,
people off? You're going to turn them on.
No, I mean, there is a clinical way to cover it. Yeah, I have a PhD in clinical psychology and then a postgrad in sex therapy. That's why Mark Bell hired me to write the column, and I enjoyed writing it. Like, so what I wrote is basically I was like the Penthouse advisor, like the Playboy advisor and a Penthouse advisor. So the people would write, I would go through all the letters and I would respond to them. And I enjoyed because it's important to handle, it's important to educate, and it's important to answer people's questions, and you can do that in like clinical way. It doesn't have to be salacious, right? So,
right.
I enjoy talking. Yeah, but I think you know I have the background.
Ruth Westheimer.
Yeah, exactly.
Can you
guys
hear me?
Okay. Ruth. Absolutely, yeah, Dr. Ruth. Absolutely, there was. Yeah. So, and the people are always interested.
Unmute me. Unmute me. Unmute me.
I did it. You are unmuted. I mean, well, I'm not
muted.
I'm
on the microphone. Please unmute me.
Can you hear me?
I asked you to watch for that.
Yeah, but... No, I mean, you are unmuted. Give me one second here.
Unmute me.
Give me one second.
God.
You guys are in different studios, right? So, it's...
yeah.
Okay,
I mean, I can hear her.
Oh,
but
I'm
I can't...
so sorry. Did you guys hear me?
Can you?
We're gonna have
really well.
We're gonna have to do a little editing there. I thought I was dropped or Johnny wasn't unmuting me because I changed from my phone to my microphone.
Can you hear me, okay, Barbara?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay.
I can hear both of you really well. In fact, I can hear Barbara even better. Like it comes, she comes through even more clear.
Yes. You know why? Because I got here from my meeting and I had to connect real fast. So I just called in like a guest would do. But this is the normal way I do it through my computer with my microphone. But I thought Johnny wasn't noticing that. But I'm sorry. I had my volume turned way down on my computer. But so you really notice a difference, huh, Victoria?
Yes.
Oh, good.
Yes.
Okay.
You're coming
so it
through
works.
Very clear.
Well, thank you. But I just want to ask Johnny something nicely. Johnny, I know you're very excited, and he does get that way, you know, especially when we have exciting celebrities on. But please stop interrupting.
Okay.
I mean, you really are interrupting everything that I try to say. It's like I get cut off, and then I can't remember even what I'm saying. So thank you.
Fault.
All right. All right, now go on. Go
it's
on,
a lot,
everybody.
You know, I have, like, I'm an interesting person, and I have a lot of information. So obviously, like, people have a lot of questions. I'm used to it, right? Because I sort of done a lot and have a lot of education.
Well, I wanted to know if everybody always asks you the same question. Because you know what I noticed is that you didn't even really let me ask it. Hold on. I'm sorry. You just automatically ran into, like, how it all happened, you know? And it made me think, you know what? She probably has to explain this all the time to everybody because that's a main question.
You're right.
So how do you feel about it? And also, on the end of that, do you have any regrets at all?
No, I don't have any regrets. I think that, you know, I feel very fortunate because, you know, even knowing Hef was such an amazing thing. He was such an icon. And I feel I was so fortunate to have met these two incredible men, right? And and just the fact that I got to know them personally, both Hefner and Guccione, they're just such an important part of the American history. They both changed, they changed the laws, they changed people's perception of, you know, they changed, you know, what nudity and beauty is. They've changed how First Amendment was interpreted. They're just incredible icons, and I feel very lucky to. Yeah, I feel very lucky to have experienced both magazines and both philosophies, and sort of having been a part of that, you know, history.
Well,
so
good. I'm glad. I don't think you should have regrets either. I just wanted to get that out there so, you know, people who listen to this can realize your real, true thoughts, what's going on with that, because I just thought, you know what, she gets asked that every single time. If I would have not been 30 seconds late on the show today, I would have started it my way, which would have been, like, what kind of kid were you? Like, when did you notice that you wanted to be in Playboy? But, like, we didn't do it that way, so now we're going to have to go all the way back there, because I want to know. I want to know about the little girl Victoria running around the Ukraine or Russia. You're half Ukrainian, you're half Russian, and you moved to the States when you were 16. I want to know, did you want to move? Do you have brothers and sisters? What are your parents like? So tell us a little bit about that. What kind of kid were you?
Yeah, so I was born in Kyiv, Ukraine, and my dad's family have families more Russian background. My mom's more from a Ukrainian village. So it's some half Russian, half Ukrainian. I speak both languages, but like with my family, I speak primarily Russian. And I grew up with, my parents were anti-communist. I grew up under the USSR, and my dad was always listening to the Voice of America, which was banned at that time. But that's what gave me an idea and the fascination with the U.S. So
what is the Voice of America?
So that was a radio at that time that you could listen to shortwave radio about the U.S., like the truth about the U.S., because, of course, we had propaganda. And behind Iron Curtain, it was very hard to get any information. So people who were sort of nonconformists and mavericks, they would listen to the shortwave radio. They would listen to the Voice of America to try to find out more of what life was like abroad. And I got fascinated because of my dad, and I ended up becoming the first exchange student. I came here as an exchange student at 16.
Really?
Yeah, initially I was one of the first group of students that came from USSR to study in the U.S. I was supposed to only stay here a year. It was during when Gorbachev came to power. So if you remember my layout, I have a picture of shaking Gorbachev's hand.
Yes,
it's because
I was
part of the group of students who was chosen to come to the U.S. I was only supposed to be here for a year and then go back. But I, of course, fell in love with the U.S. I didn't want to go back, so I got married. I got married at 17 to my immigration attorney.
No way. Now, that's fun stuff to know. Wow. You're kidding.
Yeah.
Well, you just walk by anybody, and they're going to fall in love with you. Gee. You really, you are one of the most beautiful playmates I've ever seen.
Well, thank you. So are you. Barbara, you know that. But, you know, I wasn't, like, polished. I was, you know, I didn't know makeup or self-care. But anyways, he fell in love with me, and it was a real marriage, even though I didn't just marry for citizenship. I did love him. And he's passed away now. But but we were married for about 6 years. He was a lot older, and he had he was married before, he had custody issues anyway, so eventually we ended up getting a divorce because he had drinking issues, and eventually he died from drinking. But I got married at 17 the first time, and that's how I got my citizenship. And my first husband Alex, the one I married, he was a big Playboy collector, and that's how I initially found out about Playboy. And I would look at them and I would be like, oh my God, I could never look this good. And he would always tell me, no, you're just as beautiful. I'm like, no way. And then we ended up meeting this photographer, and he talked me into taking some pictures. And I remember he said, why don't we send it to Playboy? And I was like, there's no way they're going to pick me. I just, you know, I wasn't that confident. Like I said, I was a little, you know, Soviet girl. I didn't know how to, at that time, I didn't even color my hair, or I never even had my nails done. So anyway, they sent my pictures in, and I remember it like I got a phone call, and I was like, there's no way they're going to pick me. And I even had a bet with my first husband. But the minute I flew in, and they were like, oh my God, you're from USSR. That's so cool. You have such an amazing story. And they wanted me right away. They were like, you have like an incredible story. So I was the first Soviet playmate. So I know after me there were a few. There was Natalia Sokolova. There was Inga Drozdova. There were a couple of other
We interviewed her.
Natalia was great. We were friends for a long time. Mm-hmm. So, but I was the first one. So they were very, very excited. You know, the
right.
Wait,
when you walked
girl.
In there though, or sent in your pictures, did you have still like darker hair?
Yeah, my hair. You know, like I didn't color it or anything. So that was sort of my natural. Like in my Playboy layout, I'm like 100% natural. Like I didn't do anything. I didn't color my hair. That was the first time the first time I got my nails done was for that photo shoot. Like I
thought it was
very
pretty light. You're pretty blonde, though. I'm going to get it out right now, Victoria, while you continue your story. I've got the Playboy Playmate book here of all the centerfolds. I love looking at it. And I love looking at it while I'm talking to the actual playmate who's in the centerfold, because we talk a little bit about the outfit. I already remember yours, though. And you had, like, the updo. And
you know
I saw the interview that you did, you talked about. And you're like, they did me like, you know,
Ivanka Trump.
Yeah,
because she was so popular back then. She started that updo. And I think she was on the cover of Vogue or something with the updo, so that was very in. And they thought I looked like Ivana Trump, right? Because she was very beautiful when she was young. Yeah. I don't know if you remember her Vogue cover. So yeah, so they thought, so they tried to make me look like Ivana. It was kind of funny.
I loved it. I think that look was great for you. It was very glamorous.
Thank you. It was
glamorous. I saw the interview that you were talking about. That I saw that, and it was great. By the way, and we were texting today, and you mentioned something, and then I'm like, oh, yes, I did see that. And that was a recent interview that you did. So are people surprised that you look so beautiful still? Are they always telling you, wow, you still have it? I mean, you're still modeling all the time and making tons of money and have your OnlyFans account, as I do. And you know what? People say to me on there sometimes, I want to see what you look like now. Well, I just sent you 15 offers this month of what I look like now. I actually took the pictures of myself, and so they don't believe me.
Yeah.
They don't think it's possible. Well, it is.
Yeah, I know. It's, you know, I think we're blessed. It's a combination of genetics and really healthy lifestyle. Like, I've always been ultra-conscious about being healthy. Like, I don't
drink. You're very healthy.
I never smoke.
You've never had one drink, not one drop of alcohol.
Yeah, no, I haven't had alcohol in I don't even remember how long, but I never really drank. And I'm like a health fanatic. I work out every day. I'm in all this into the soulless life extension stuff. But I've also had work. Obviously, I get Botox and fillers and all that because you have to. It's impossible not to get anything done and look good.
Right.
And,
and we're so lucky we have that in this day and age. I think that our generation, just from zero to now, we've seen it all, the technology. I mean, how wonderful that we have this technology now to use, and that. But we know what it used to be like, though, you know what I mean? And then we never had Botox and fillers. My mother, I don't remember my mother ever having that. So,
yeah, I think this stuff's only been around like for 10, 15 years, some of this stuff. So we're very lucky, like all the lasers. I mean, it's just amazing. So you don't have to age like I said, like our parents did. Because
so
there's
that's
so
why.
Many ways to,
So believe it, everybody. Things are different now.
I mean, look at Dolly Parton. I mean, she's literally almost 80, and she's wearing cowboy cheerleader outfit and out there. So, yeah, women don't, or Cher, or Christie Brinkley, people don't age the same way anymore. Like, if you really want to look good, you can put an effort in it, you can look good. I mean, it's obviously work and effort and expense, but it's possible.
And Paulina Porizkova.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I just saw her, and she's like even older, 10 years older than me, and she's got a hard body, and her face is great. So, and she did a little excerpt in her little brawn panty. You know what? I don't want people to say, oh, how old are you now, and you're still doing that. It's what I do. It's what I do right now. I enjoy it. It's creative. It's fun.
Yeah.
And it gives me freedom.
You know, once you discover Yes, exactly. And, you know, modeling is, you're right, it's about creating art. And once, you know, back then, also when you and I posed, we really learned how to pose because it was at the age of film, right? So there were 36 exposures. So you really needed to know how to pose. You couldn't just, now models could just stand there and the photographers will take like 500 digital images, right? But back then, we knew this was film, and film is expensive. So you kind of had to know your body, you had to know the pose. You really learned this, what I call proprioception, is knowing, like, your body in space. And once you learn, it becomes a skill, and it's a nice skill to use. So I absolutely still enjoy modeling very much, and I'm very proud how my body looks. I really... Is that I don't have any intention of stopping. As long as I'm making money and I'm being booked, why not, right?
Okay, good. Well, then I'm not going to feel bad then either. Because
no, absolutely.
If you can do it, why not do it?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that it's great. You know, people appreciate women of any age now. I love how it's not sexist. You know, back years ago, you know, by the time you hit 30, you were considered old. Now you see models of all ages. And, I mean,
that's
you saw Martha Stewart on the cover, and she's 80. And I think that's really beautiful. And like I said, Dolly Parton's out there looking sexy. I love it that sex appeal is not limited to the young anymore.
I really do love her, too. So I'm looking at your centerfold. Hold on. Let me get my glasses. Okay. While I get them, describe to Johnny what it's like and what you're wearing.
So I'm wearing a corset. It's kind of, you know, my centerfold's kind of, it's very glamorous. I'm in like an office setting, and I'm playing strip chess. So I'm holding a chess piece. I'm wearing a corset in some heels, and hair's up.
The necklace.
And I have a pretty choker. Yeah, like a really nice kind of a necklace, choker necklace.
Like a
so
neck
definitely
piece.
Definitely very glamorous. Yes.
Neck piece.
Yeah, so it's supposed to be kind of strip chess. So I've been playing chess, and I'm losing, and I'm slowly taking off pieces.
Okay, and I'm very sorry for the delay, but it stopped. Oh, I just opened straight up to mine. I have to put the microphone down and then get the page open again. So, hey, Johnny.
I love that book. I love that book with all the centerfolds, right? It's so fun.
Gorgeous. Yes. I'm glad you have one. We've interviewed like 25 playmates, and a lot of them don't even have this book.
I love that book. It's so fun.
It's wonderful. Okay, I'm putting the microphone down so I can look it up and ask Victoria a question, a burning question of yours, Johnny.
Okay. Well, my next burning question is, I mean, do you, I'm just curious, like, what would motivate somebody to want to be in Penthouse and what would motivate somebody to want to be in Playboy? I mean, I noticed, like, there's probably people that could be in both. But, I mean, what is your opinion that would motivate somebody to just choose one or the other?
Did she go over the whole thing?
Yeah, I think everybody wanted to be in Playboy, right? It's just it was hard to get in. And I think the rule at one point, if you've ever done nudity before, you couldn't be in Playboy. Like, they wanted the original. So some girls couldn't
That's
be in
I've
Playboy.
Heard, yeah.
They had to go straight to Penthouse because they've shot nudity before. They were published before. I think also like the dancers and the adult stars would choose Penthouse more because, again, the Playboy wouldn't allow adult stars to be playmates. They wanted kind of a girl next door, and they wanted to be the first to uncover her. But then, yeah, with Penthouse, you had more opportunities to do like featured dancing. They had connections more with adult industry as well, with like Michael Ninn and Andrew Blake, and all the big, big original producers who produced some beautiful, beautiful videos. So yeah, so it was I think the women were obviously, you had to be kind of uninhibited to do either one of them. You couldn't, it wasn't for every model. Not every model could stand there nude. It's not that easy. The Penthouse was a little bit more explicit. They sort of led, I guess the competition between them is what led it progressively more explicit. So it showed more like genitalia a little more, from the beginning on. So obviously you have to be ready for that. Some women weren't ready for that. It was a little more exhibitionistic. But I think the playmates that I met in Pets, they were very similar. They were all models who enjoyed their body, enjoyed showing their body, and were ready to sort of explore the world. And so I didn't think there was that much difference between playmates and Pets. I think the Pets were like more uninhibited, I would think, more wild.
But it doesn't make sense, though. If they're already doing their exotic dancing, why not try to get Penthouse so then they can get top billing and these $10,000 checks every time they show up? So that is a good incentive right there. And a lot of the playmates, that was as far as they would go, and like maybe they had a husband at home or a very religious home base that they just could never do that. So and you even see some playmates layouts, they're a lot more tamer. They're more tame than others because they would take that even into account and they would make you feel comfortable. So I'd say that's the difference. And, but your situation is so much different though, with the whole, I find out about the falling out.
Yeah, I think I couldn't have posed for Penthouse first. I was very shy, when I posed for Playboy, and I wasn't that comfortable in front of the camera. It took me a while. So the 10 years that I modeled in between me, I became progressively more comfortable by the time I posed for Penthouse.
You know what? That makes so much sense. That makes a lot of sense because when I was 18 or 19, I couldn't have done even Playboy. I was so still shy and just very modest. Yeah. And 20 and 21 and 22, 23, 24. It wasn't until I was almost 25 when I was ready for it. And when I met Echo, who was just 1 month before me and she was only 18, I was shocked that she was just ready for it, And then.
Yeah, I was only 18.
And I found out her mom really pushed her into it. But when you do have a parent support, that makes this whole thing a lot easier because we've interviewed a lot of the playmates and they've had a hard time telling their parents. So tell us about how that went with you when first Playboy and then with Penthouse. How did that go with your family?
Well, I'm lucky. My family was kind of very liberal and very supportive. My dad was a photojournalist. He he was a photographer, so he really appreciated like the lighting and the photography of Playboy as well. So he was
right.
able to look at it from artistic perspective as a photographer. And my mom's always been very supportive and liberal. So I'm very lucky that, and my parents were not religious. I grew up in the USSR, which was not religious, so there wasn't any, like, the Catholic shame or guilt or anything like that. I never had to deal with any. I feel bad for people who had to deal with a lot of, you know, repercussions from the religious backgrounds. So I never had to. They were always very supportive. I mean, you know, my parents, obviously, my dad passed away. He wasn't able to see. He was a lot older than my mom. He never saw my penthouse issue. My mom obviously was more comfortable with Playboy. She was like, wow, penthouse is a lot more explicit. But she was cool in the end with it. And
good.
Yeah, so I like I said, I was very lucky. And with penthouse, I had met Julie Strain. I'm sure you were friends with her too. She was a wonderful person.
I
and
loved
she was
her.
Yes, wasn't she wonderful? She was penthouse set of the year.
Yes.
So she was kind of the one, she also motivated me. I did a video with her before I became penthouse pet. And I just, you know, she told me, go for it. She said, you'll enjoy working with them. It's a nice family. So, yeah.
I loved her.
That
she
was
shot
so sad
me.
She passed away. Yeah. So wasn't she a wonderful person?
She was such a great person, totally cool, just sharp. And that is so weird. I just was shocked. I also modeled with her a lot for the Shirley of Hollywood and Friends
yes.
of Hollywood. Did you too? With the catalog?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and
yes, that's
so I got to know her. I actually have worked with a lot of penthouse pets. There was another cute one with dark short hair, big honking smile and laugh. I can't even remember her name now, but she went by a different name for the movie I did with her, but they're great girls,
yeah.
And they are modeling with us. And you're right. A lot of them seem just like the playmates. I
yeah.
always thought it was just the difference of the dancing. So I needed to talk to you about it because I wanted to know the reason. And now I do know, and it's very interesting. But what really makes sense is the 10-year gap right there. It's not like you did Playboy and then you went straight to Penthouse.
Yeah.
So then you got the best of both worlds, really.
Yeah, I was really lucky. And I got, like I said, I was the last head of the year chosen by Guccione. I got his original gold key with a crown with rubies and diamonds.
Really?
I was the last one. After that, Lester Mark Bell bought the magazine, he switched to like a cheap white gold, you know, like completely different necklace, still had the crown, but I got the original one that was designed by Guccione. It was big and gaudy because he was Italian, but I loved every minute of it.
Yes.
I was so happy when
God.
I got that.
Thank God you got that, because I do feel bad for the Playmates who can't have their own month, and they never did get to have time, really cool times at the mansion or with Hef, and it just was so much different. And plus, they didn't have the money to fly you all around the world. Told you today, I even went to Russia, your hometown.
Yes, I did too. I went with Nicole Wood. We did a Kremlin fashion show there.
Cool. And then that was so good for you. They sent me everywhere, and they didn't have the budget after a while. So we really were the Playmates of the 90s. I mean, we have our own hashtag that's super popular. Johnny, it is something special, the Playmates of the 90s. It really is.
Absolutely. It was there was the height, the zenith of Playboy. And you know, they launched Playboy TV Latin America, and I ended up going with Lisa Jurgen and Layla Roberts. We did Buenos Aires and, you know, a bunch of places in South America. I had some amazing times with some beautiful girls.
Yes. And, you were in the year with Nuria Davis.
Yeah.
We've had her on.
We've had her on, but I was pretty close with her because we did model a lot of catalogs together, and I love Becky De Los Santos, who was in your year, and Alon Carter we have had on. Tracy Adele, you had a very, very good year.
Yeah, because my year was the 40th anniversary search, right? So it had some really strong people. Remember, they did the whole countrywide search.
Yes,
and
Anna
Marie
Goddard.
Goddard. Yeah.
We
yeah,
have said
yeah.
things at the exact same time several times on the show.
Yeah. So, yeah, no, I think the 90s was, like I said, the golden era of Playboy for sure. I mean, the prior year, you know, the 70s in its own way, but the 90s was just everything was blossoming. There was so much merchandising. The catalog was doing great. It was just like I had like 7 covers of Playboy catalog.
I saw the catalog
year.
Covers of you. Yes, I saw
yeah.
that too. Okay, and then Donna Perry we had on.
Yeah.
Okay, I want to know about your parents, though. When you moved at 16 as an, well, you came as an exchange student, which was really cool. I remember a Japanese boy who came to our school, and my girlfriend and I befriended him. He went back to Japan, and he sent us yukata dresses, and he said that we were the only ones who were nice to him at all, which is so sad. But how was it? Did you speak English when you arrived?
Yeah, yeah. So I was chosen because I spoke English really well, right? They chose us. So I was like the poster child for the whole exchange program, and they had to do all these media appearances. Yeah, I did. But, I mean, it still was like an entirely different world. I just remembered I've never seen a grocery store. I've never seen popcorn. I've never seen waterbed. Like, everything was just, like, new and amazing. And I was like, I love this place. I'm never going back.
Right.
Like,
well, what
yeah.
was it like? I guess I didn't ask Igor, my dance partner, enough questions about Russia, but he was telling me he had to escape with his wife and brother and sister-in-law, and
yeah.
they never went. They would never go back. But something about the food. But where? How did you get your food then? What was it like?
Well, you know,
the grocery store.
They didn't have grocery stores, so they'd be like a bread store. It would be meat store, vegetable store, right?
Oh.
The idea of this grocery store with, like, everything is, like, shiny and beautiful and so much of everything. Like, remember, USSR was very basic, so everything was very, very basic. And so this, like, glittering world was just incredible. I mean, everything was entirely different. Like, I've never seen such opulence, such a cornucopia of products. It was truly incredible.
Wow. And when your dad was, name that program again that he would watch.
The Voice of America. Yeah,
the Voice
of America.
And was it like that? And he'd let you watch that too. And was it what the Voice
well,
of
it was,
America?
Well, it was a shortwave radio, right? So we only heard things. We'd never actually seen because of the Iron Curtain, all the information about U.S. was forbidden in the USSR. Remember, it was the Cold War still during the whole Cold War. So we didn't know much. Well, we knew what we heard on the radio.
Okay. And you, a while ago when I was asking you to come on the show, you were in Japan with your mom. Where does your mom live now? It sounds like you guys are really still close and
yeah,
she's a great
yeah.
mom.
Oh, yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. So my dad passed away. My mom remarried and her other husband passed away. So she lives with my next to my sister in Philadelphia. And that's where I went to school. I spent a lot of time in Philadelphia. Like I was on the cover of Philadelphia Magazine several times. So, yeah, so they still live there. I live like an hour and a half away, 2 hours away in North Jersey. I live outside New York City. So yeah, so my mom and I travel, and she's very close to my kids. So it's really my mom's sister and I that immigrated, and unfortunately, the rest of my family is still in Ukraine, like my cousins and like my one cousin's fighting on the Russian side, my other ones are fighting for Ukrainians. It's really a mess.
How often
and
do you get checked in to see if they're okay?
Well, my mom talks to them frequently. I don't as much, you know, because I'm like a busy mom of three, so it's kind of hard to keep up. But my mom talks to them, and I PayPal them usually once a month because
that's
they nice. Have, like, power outages. And they the drones are disabled. So that what happens is there's a missile defense system which disables bombs. But
yes.
the shock waves from it break the windows all the time, so they have to constantly replace the windows. So we're always helping them out financially with that.
Crazy,
yeah.
You know, I just
question.
Am appalled about what the people of Ukraine are having to go through, and I just want to say, hey, everybody, pray for Victoria's family and everybody
yeah.
over there because, and they're at odds because there's. A couple of sides in your family that are like on different sides.
Yeah.
Oh, that's really tough.
You mean you have one cousin fighting for Russia, the other one cousin fighting for Ukraine?
Yes, yeah. So my dad's side, it's not easy. I mean, it's just how it sort of panned out. Majority of my family is in around Kiev. We try to help out as much as we can here and there.
That's so nice. And you know what? They can't complain about anything you're doing. I mean, you're helping your whole family, and that's good. But it's so good to hear that, you know, you feel so good about your path that you took. And I feel good about it, too. You know, I just didn't know. Was she disgruntled? Was she, what's happening? So now I know the whole story, but you had a very good career with both companies.
I had a very nice long run with Playboy. I can't complain. And you know what? After Hef died, like now I'm on very friendly terms with Playboy. In fact, like I'm friends with Brittany Andrews, and she works with Playboy all the time with the Playboy Centerfold. I don't know if you have that. In addition to OnlyFans, I also have a Playboy Centerfold, their own platform. And I went in LA, I went into the building, met everyone. They love me. They have no hard feelings against me. They gave me all this merchandise. They were extremely welcoming. So I'm on great terms with them.
Well,
they realized it was
just, you know, things have loosened up. Yes. So that's good. No, I'm glad I'm talking to you about it because I had seen that. I was checking that out. I wasn't really sure how to go about it. I don't know the new Playboy people. And most people don't either. You're the only one, right, Johnny, that we talk to that even knows the new Playboy people.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they have their own platform, Playboy Centerfold, so you can get listed on that. And Brittany Andrews, who's a friend of mine from Penthouse Era, she brings a lot of centerfolds to them. So she works with them all the time with promoting the Playboy Centerfold brand. I met everyone, and if you go in, they are so friendly. They are. They gave me a ton of new merchandise. So now my daughters are wearing stuff with Playboy. I mean, beautiful stuff.
My daughter loved it too. But she won't tell anybody, Victoria, she won't tell anybody I'm a Playboy Playmate because she doesn't want all those guys looking me up. She doesn't want it. So I was going to ask you, because you have kids, but your daughters are a little older, right? How old? 22 and then 19 and then a 9-year-old boy?
Yeah, I have a 21-year-old daughter, a 17-year-old daughter, and a 9-year-old boy. Yeah, they're very proud of me. I mean, they're, they have no, they don't have any issues with what I do. I mean, they're just sort of, they think, it's funny because my 17-year-old friends all think it's super cool. They're like, this is just so cool that you've met these people and you've done all that. I mean, you know, this nudity stuff has become that kind of very mainstream.
I mean,
think about it. It's just these girls, they have phones, and what a teenage girl is going to do with phones? They take nude selfies and text them to each other all the time. So it has become much more acceptable. And my kids are proud of me. I mean, my son doesn't know. I don't know how he'll react, especially since, you know, I've done some of the really risque stuff for my OnlyFans. So that I don't know how he's going to react. But my girls, they are totally comfortable with that.
Well, good job. You know, I told my daughter, if you just told them, they'd probably think it was totally cool. I mean, she wore my Playboy studded Playboy Bunny T-shirt to school on the first day. First day of school.
Yeah.
She wore that. And I go, but yet you are not proud that your mother is a Playmate. So,
Well, I think she's proud. Maybe she's just being protective, you know.
She's proud. And she misses going up to the Playboy Mansion. And she thinks the pictures are beautiful. And she loves, you know, she thinks I'm so highly successful. And she's like, will I ever be as successful as you? But then she doesn't want it to leak out. Because she thinks she's going to be so horrified if somebody sees it. She's like, I'm just protecting you, Mom. So I don't know. We just have it different. We just do. We just have it. Maybe when she gets older, she'll finally be okay with it. And she loves all my Playmate girlfriends, too.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard. It's hard to fit in, you know, and you don't want to be liked for the wrong reasons, and you don't want, like, the boys lusting after your mom. I understand all the feelings that they have to deal with. It's not the easiest thing.
Yeah. So your mom does live near, well, in Philadelphia, but how long after you moved to the States did she come out, and your dad?
So I after I became an American citizen, which is like 4 years after I got married, I brought my mom, sister, my dad, my nuclear, like my closest family, immediate family, to the U.S. So they've been living here a long time.
Like, and they really wanted to come too. They didn't miss what they were leaving.
No. I mean, at that time, like I said, it was still USSR. So, I mean, time
pretty
has changed
bad.
A lot.
Okay, yeah, now I'm back to, sorry to cut you off, but I am back at your centerfold now. Let me examine it. So you are standing up, leaning against a chess set. I wasn't so sure what you said before. It's a chess set, correct?
Yes. So it's supposedly like a strip chess, you know, where I'm playing chess with someone, you know, strip chess, and you're like losing. So I've removed a few pieces.
That's cool. And you're holding a white chess, maybe a king or a queen, in your hand.
Yeah.
I love examining them because they put so much effort into our centerfold, didn't they?
And they're masterpieces. And they're so artistic. Like, the way they light. That's what I'm saying. My dad, when I showed him my centerfold, he was a photographer. He just said, oh, my God, that's so beautifully lit, like the backlight. Like, he was focused on all the lighting. And how what a masterpiece it was.
Yes, we are very lucky to have a centerfold. You know what? If I didn't make Playboy, I would never have told anybody I even tried. I really had that dream since I was 12 to become a Playmate. And think about all of the girls out there who wanted and wished that as well and tried. There's not very many out there in the world, and so many were turned down. How do you think they felt? And I want to ask you, how do you think they felt when they stayed at the mansion and they saw the lifestyle, and then they wanted it even more when you stay there, and then they were told no? What do you think? How do you think they felt?
Well, I'm sure it was extremely disappointing. And I know some Playmates tried many times. Like, they would go out, change their hair, have plastic surgery. I mean, I've talked to a few who tried multiple times before they got in. You and I were very lucky. I mean, I was signed on the spot. And I heard later on, like I said, some Playmates tried again and again, and some models, until they got in, and some never got in.
And they have been very candid, by the way, with us. The one I sent you to listen to, one of our shows on Colleen Shannon, DJ Colleen Shannon, she said that she tried four times, and it wasn't until she got up to the mansion and Hef took a liking to her personally, she never told him, oh, well, I've tried four times. She kept that to herself, which I said, that's very smart, just like you with your pregnancy, right? And then she did. She finally made it. But some did a little changing tweaks to themselves and came back and made it. So... yeah, it was so fun. When you were shooting and testing for Playboy, who was the photographer and what location?
So because I was in New York, I shot in Chicago, and Richard Fegley was my photographer. He was old at that time. In fact, he was funny because I was kind of like really shy, and he's like, don't worry. It was like shooting women is like shooting furniture. There's only so many ways I could turn you. So he's making me laugh.
That's cute.
Yeah. So Richard Fegley shot my centerfold, and he was in his 60s by then. And Michael M. Sullivan was the editor in Chicago.
Yeah, I met her.
Because
I would go out there to Chicago to shoot stuff, like, you know, the catalog that, you know, the Playboy catalog that you did a lot. And then
and the calendars.
Cover.
Remember the calendars, yeah.
Yeah, so I got to meet them, some of them over there, but it was nothing like the Beverly Hills and going to the mansion. So
no, of course, it wasn't.
Did you get out there? Did you get out there often to the mansion for parties?
I would stay there because, you know, you were allowed to stay at the guest house. So when I would come out to LA, that's where I usually stayed. That was kind of nice to have the perk of a free place to stay.
Yes. By the time you came along, I think that the marriage to Kimberly was ended, right?
No, he was still married at the time. And because I remember that during media training, did you remember the media training? They were like telling us, oh, yeah, say the leopard has changed his spots. He's super faithful now. He doesn't care. But, like, I just remember that whole spiel. And then about 2 years after I became I think 95, 96, something like that, maybe 96 is when they started to split up. But when I was a playmate, they still had the signs, kids at play. And then they changed it to playmates at play again.
Me too. Well, of course me too, because I was earlier than you, but... Yes,
yeah.
I remember. How lucky are we as well that it changed back to the way it was, the wonderful party atmosphere where, you know, because, I mean, Kimberly was changing it. I got along with her fine, but she was changing it. People were not even wearing their pajamas anymore up there for New Year's Eve, and it finally just stayed that way. But I liked the pajama
thing. I was intimidated by her. I was kind of scared of Kimberly a little. She was, you know, like I was scared to go out. She was kind of cold. And like
she
wasn't
cold.
Warm. Yeah, okay. So I was scared of her because I was shy. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, me too. But for some reason, she wanted to take me to sushi. So I did go. And I was shocked. I really was shocked. And then she wanted me to come up and work out with her. Maybe because she didn't feel I was, like, threatening, you know. I mean... I wasn't threatening.
You know, I was too shy, I think, you know. But maybe she craves companionship, too. I don't know. I mean, it's hard. I can't imagine being married to half. As much as I enjoyed it, I could never be like one of his girlfriends would be married to him. Like, I thought, like, what would it be like? But I couldn't. I don't know about you. Like, I just couldn't imagine having a husband who was, like, constantly surrounded by new, beautiful women every day, you know.
I would go insane. Okay, that's just my personality.
Yeah.
I would not want to share my man.
I know, I thought of that. And he was flirty at times. Like later I would come up, I remember I came up and I think it was Heather Kozars at the year party. And he was like, oh, you keep looking better and better. Like he's flirting with me. And I'm like, oh my God, oh my God. But I was like, there's no way. Like by then he already had like multiple girlfriends. And I was like, no, I can't. It's just, I can't. I agree with you. I couldn't share. I give a lot of credit.
That was 1999 when he came on to me. He did grope me. I did not take offense. I mean, it was Hugh Hefner. It was in the grotto.
Yes.
I was in the bathroom. He came into the big first one with another playmate girlfriend. And he was like handsy on us, okay?
Yes.
And then he invited us up to his room after the cocktail party. He said, come on up. And we both said no. I was already a playmate for 8 years or so. And I was already a playmate. I was in love with my boyfriend at the time. I had my own great life. And I just didn't want to. So I said no. And then I felt, oh, my gosh, I had to run to Mary O'Connor and ask her, do you think that Hef's going to get mad at me because I say no and you not hire me anymore. She said, absolutely not, Barbara. You're fine. You're fine. Everything's fine. And it was fine. And I still remained coming up there and working a lot. So I didn't ever
I
get
think
that.
He was flirty like that. And I agree. He had no problem putting his arm. But this was way before Me Too movement. And I never got offended by any of that either because it was just like, well, it was half, you know, so it wasn't a big deal. But I agree, I just never could be like one of many. I couldn't do that. But it was a drastic change from him being married and, like I said, having Kimberly and the kids around. And I remember those little boys running around too. All of a sudden, half the party guy, you know, back. He was back. Viagra, you know, liberated him and he was back.
I don't know if this is a rumor or not, but somebody told me that Marston Hefner is now on OnlyFans.
Really? I don't know. That's interesting.
Yeah, I know. It made me giggle, and I always forget to go check, but I'm going to check on that. And
I feel like everybody's on OnlyFans now. Like, literally, it's just such a thing. It's everywhere. I was at the, I just came back from the AVN, right? And I used to go to AVN with the Penthouse. They had their booth way before, you know, all this stuff. And it was so crowded. I've never seen a convention that crowded. So a lot of people who used to come to Glamour Cons were there. With
were
all
you
the, with
autographing?
All
I mean, were you
yeah, I was the entire time. It was so incredibly busy. It was, like, packed. I just incredible, incredible. And the, a lot of the traditional collectors, because there's no more Glamour Cons, they were there with all my stuff, but also a lot of new guys, right? So, yeah, I was busy nonstop. Because I could not believe it.
My guy friend was there, and he said, oh, there are Playmates here. You know, he's sending me pictures, and he, I guess he didn't run into you, but he said, do you want to do it next year? And I said, yeah, and that would be so fun if I got to sit next to you, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I was at the Elevated booth with Tara Patrick and Brittany Andrews. Tara was there, and she's like a whole legend. She was a Penthouse pet and pet of the year on Rubber King. Anyways, we worked a lot. So, yeah, it was a lot of people. I kept running in. So I didn't see any Playmates, but there were just so many people. The crowds were insane. And the OnlyFans booth was huge, like loyal fans. Like, there were all these. It was just unbelievable how popular it is. Like, it seems like everybody has OnlyFans, like, literally.
Yes, but about the OnlyFans, the real fans that showed up for your autograph, so you only used to know them probably by their username, right? And then they're standing in front of you. Was that kind of surreal? Because you do kind of get to know a person, especially your real good buyers that are always there from the start. And so did you meet any of those fans?
Yeah. There were a lot of fans I got to meet. And they were also, like, old Playboy collectors, like, from Glamour Cons. They were like, it was the funny part is they were like, Victoria, how do you not age? I said, well, I've got my secrets. They're like, you literally didn't age in, like, the 30 years we've known you. It's kind of funny.
Ha-ha, you proved it because you showed up in person and you proved that fact.
I was there, the whole time. I was just posting stuff. I'm still posting stuff from TikTok because, like I said, I met so many girls of all, I mean, women of all ages. It was fascinating. Like,
that's great. I want to do it. I might not be able to sit then on the Penthouse platform with you now that I heard that it was
the Elevated booth is just, it's like a hosting company, so anybody could sit there. That's not so if you want to, I could definitely get you a booth there. They just want a bunch of models. They're all sorts of models. There were cam girls that were signing there. They're the a company that hosts websites and stuff.
I wonder why there weren't any Playmates there.
You know, there might have been. It's just that I was overwhelmed. I couldn't keep up. There was just so much going on.
That sounds lucrative.
Yes, crowds and crowds and crowds of people. And, of course, there was the white party and the red carpet to go to. So it's a lot of fun to dress up.
I really do want to do it. I want to do it next year. A year goes by fast.
Yeah, if you want to do it, that would be great. We could share a booth. That would be fun.
My best friend from fifth grade she just moved to New York, so I've been trying to get over there to visit her. I will definitely call you up if I do come before.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because we shot together. Tell everybody that. Do you remember the photographer? Because I don't remember who shot us.
No, I don't know. Like, I looked at it says something, icandy.com, but the website's no longer around. Yeah, I don't remember anymore. I think we shot twice even. I have to go through my old stuff and find those.
Okay, because we could do something with those now. And you know what I thought? How great. I had a website for 14 years where I shot enough, you know, one day for 5 weeks. I mean, that's a lot of galleries when we'd put out a new one once a week, right? And so all that was just sitting there, that content, not moving for a long time. And then OnlyFans came around, and my fans started saying, why aren't you doing this? I didn't know about it. Oh, I was so glad I started that. It was right during COVID. So I mixed in. Yeah, I mean, it was great to do during that time, right? And then I just started mixing in, starting to shoot new stuff and mixing it in with the archive stuff because people still want to see your
absolutely
past stuff, right? So
absolutely, yeah.
I'm thankful. I'm grateful for it, actually.
And I've shot with so many playmates. Like I was thinking, I have like beautiful stuff with Devin DeVasquez, like some of the really classic ones, and Kathy
yes.
St. George, and like I would love to get a hold of them, because, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I can connect you. I'm really good friends with Devin. I was in her wedding, a bridesmaid in her wedding.
Yeah,
I actually introduced her to Ron.
I don't know if she has OnlyFans because you can only post stuff for people who you can tag. So I don't even know who has OnlyFans in terms of Playmates.
She
I'd love
doesn't.
To go through. She doesn't, right? So I couldn't tag her. But yeah, but there's I shot with so many over the years. I really should go through and see because it seems like everyone does.
Okay, well, we can collaborate on that, and I can help you out with that because, you know, I'm connected with the Playmates of the 90s, and I do
yeah.
know who's on there. And then you'll see my friends list. Now, we just connected really today there on OnlyFans so we can tag each other so we can then share this show. I can't share your photo. At first, we could. I was sending out things with other people in it. Now they've gotten
yes,
very
yes.
strict, which is good, right? You don't want somebody else
yes,
using your
yes.
photo without a tag.
Yes. But
right.
yeah, we could definitely post those and tag each other. And but yeah, I have so many because, like I said, I have a very active website for a long time as well. So I have tons of content with different playmates. I have to look up and see who's around. Like, I don't know, does Carrie Kendall have OnlyFans?
Oh, Carrie Kendall, I don't think so, but she has a radio show.
Yes, she
does.
She does? And actually, it's funny because I interviewed Carrie Kendall many years ago, and she really always wanted to be a playmate. So I asked her, I said, why didn't you ever do Penthouse? And she said, that's what I wanted to do. And she said Penthouse approached her, and she turned it down.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you couldn't do like Penthouse first on Playboy. So the only way to do it is Playboy first, and then when you feel like I told the girls, when you feel like they're not using you as much anymore and moving on to new girls, then you could get like another jump start with Penthouse. And some girls also did Hustler. I didn't. I know like Lexi Carlson. She also did Perfect 10. She did Perfect 10 right after Playboy, and then she did Penthouse.
Yes. And, well, David Meese has a magazine. It's been out for 1 year. I just did the centerfold in his magazine called Meese Magazine. He calls it the model in the middle. And he really does follow a lot about how Hef did it because he was a photographer there for 25 years. But
wow.
he said, I don't care how old a person is because I said, are you – You want me as the model in the middle? Isn't this supposed to be the young and upcoming kind of unknown? And he's like, I don't care. That one thing I'm doing differently because I find it doesn't matter what age a woman is. They're all just the same as beautiful. To me, the age has nothing to do with it. So that's his take. So you could also be in that if you want.
Oh, yeah, I'd love to.
Yeah. Okay.
I enjoy
so something. We have a lot to collaborate on, and it's been really wonderful getting to know your story and hearing your voice again. I even forgot that you had a New York accent.
Yeah, I've developed a New York accent. I should hear the accent over the years. I've gotten rid of my Russian one, and now I have a Jersey. I say call sometimes, call me. So.
Yeah, I love it. I do.
But
love
yeah,
it.
I would love to reconnect for sure in New York and maybe shoot again. That would be so fun.
Yes, at the Barbie in Vegas. Well,
yeah,
there's so
revisit
much to do.
It.
People
yeah,
would
we'll
love
do
it.
Our
fans would
revisit.
Love it.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. And I'll give you also some ideas of some other, like Lynn Thomas. You could reach out to her. We've been friends, and she has got an interesting story. And a few other playmates I can think of, like some of the more recent ones, like Spencer Scott. I have her information. And some others, I think. So it could definitely be helpful.
Yes, it can be coast to coast. Very helpful. Wow. Well, this has been so enlightening. We didn't even touch upon, maybe we could just talk to you for one more minute and you can tell us about the education. And aren't you, are you a doctor?
Yes, so I first got my law degree because my first husband was a lawyer. He's an immigration attorney. And so he encouraged me to do that. So I got my JD. I worked a couple years as an attorney, didn't like it. And then I went back and finished my PhD. So I have a PhD in clinical psychology, and then I have a postgrad in marital and sex therapy. So I worked for many years as a therapist. In fact, I'd gotten out of the whole modeling thing, and I had my own very thriving practice as a psychologist. And that's when the COVID kind of I had to shut down my practice.
Oh, no.
And I was like, what am I going to do? Because I did a lot of groups, right? And I knew I couldn't do that. And, it was like applied for small business loan and everything. But that's when I started OnlyFans, like so many people. OnlyFans was popular before, but I just remember OnlyFans is what really jump-started. COVID jump-started OnlyFans. Everyone went on it.
Well, that's so great that you kept yourself up. A lot of them haven't, and you did. So then when you needed it, you could take advantage of it. And that's what's so great about being a centerfold, whether it's for Playboy or Penthouse or both, it's wonderful. You have that in your back pocket. You can always find a way to make money with that title. And in the beginning of the show, when you were telling us all about that with the lawsuit about how Hef wouldn't let us use our title, it was ridiculous. Okay. We've come that far and now we can't even use our Playboy Playmate Month in your title. So thank God that Terry Wells did win. And, she probably never went to the mansion again after that, but it was worth it,
Yeah, I think about it, like, that's a seminal case, and it establishes, like, whatever title you get, it is yours for life. Like, you are Playboy Playmate for life. You can use it. It's, you could use it anywhere. Like, you could use it in writing. You could meta tag it, whatever you want to do, because you are a Playmate. Yeah.
Can I say something?
Sure.
Yes, absolutely.
I hope I'm not interrupting. It's funny because, when Barbara first came on the show, there were people on the show who didn't like the fact that they were talking about Playboy all the time. And the thing was that Barbara, I told Barbara when she came on the show, bring your friends on the show, because this is your show too. You should be able to bring your friends on. And it's kind of silly to think that a Playboy Playmate wouldn't be friends with other Playboy Playmates. So
that's
what
he meant. He wanted those friends on, Victoria.
Yes.
Well, It was the fact that these are your friends, and
right.
I know you, I told Barbara, when I called her up and I said, look, I got rid of the other two people off of the show. It's just you and me, and you go ahead and you do your series. And it was like, because I didn't want to ever come across as somebody that pushes people away, I never met him, but, I would imagine he wouldn't take too kindly to the idea of somebody being told to be shush every time they said that they were a Playmate.
Right.
Well, thank you, Johnny. I didn't know the turmoil. It was the first year I was working on the show, and we did have a co-host she loved me at first, and then another one came on and then, twisted her and brainwashed her. Do you really want this to be a whole Playboy show? I was just merely wanting to do a Playboy Playmate series. It's only like one of the top five brands in the world. And here you have a Playmate as your co-host and you're not going to use that. I mean, that's not very smart. And so poor Johnny, and they were saying so many mean things about me. It was just jealousy. So he got rid of them. And I'm really proud of Johnny, but I didn't know the turmoil he was dealing with because he has the sweetest, best heart ever. And I was determined to keep my position on the radio show. I loved it. And we did it 7 days a week for one full year because I did feel like if I didn't want to do it one day, they would say, see, she's not here, and get me out. I felt it. You know how you can feel things, Victoria?
Of course.
Yeah, I felt it, and it was happening, and Johnny took care of it. But how great is this that we've already interviewed so many wonderful ladies, and every single one of them is a success story.
I was going to say something else. I played the game The Sims. I don't know if you've heard of it. And I had house with all the Playmates living in it. Have you ever heard of the game The Sims?
Yes, of course.
Yeah, I have it. And what I did was I made this house with all the Playmates that we've had on in the house. So you're going to be put in the house after the show. It's hilarious. It's just, and everybody is just sort of like, you know, like Terry Lynn Doss is in there. Carrie Kendall is in there. Echo Johnson. It's funny. It's hilarious.
Yes. And I can, like you said, I can refer more because I'm in touch with a few more. And like I said, some of the more recent ones, like I'm very good friends with Spencer Scott and some of the other ones. So I definitely would love to add more to your collection.
Thank you, because that would be so interesting to pick the brain.
Everybody's got a great story, you know.
Yeah.
People are, you think that they, I think that it's important for public to know that these are, you know, we're just not like empty, you know, these are not just like empty-headed models. Like, everybody's got an amazing story. I don't know if you know Kelly Gallagher, who was in my year. She became extremely successful as a designer as well.
I know.
So, yeah, everybody's got an interesting story.
We got along so well, Kelly and I, and she told me to do it so she could pay off her student loans. And I even went over to her little apartment, and she showed me blueprints. And she had a focus, laser beam focus of what she wanted to do. And one day I was flipping through a magazine, and it said Kelly Gallagher. Well, Kelly Wurstler is her real name, right?
Kelly Wurstler, yes, exactly, yeah.
Yes, and but I knew it was her. Yes, because she had told me that she didn't use her real last name. And there she was with her huge gallery right on Melrose. I mean, absolutely opulent and doing fantastically well. We didn't stay in contact, but she said that I was the one for many years after that. Like, she would only call me to get, like, the scoop on everything. You know, we really did click, and big success story. I'm very proud of her. You know what?
Yeah, everybody's got this very interesting narratives, and you're doing a great job bringing people back. I just did the Playboy documentary on the A&E channel. They actually came to my house and interviewed me for a whole day. So that's running on the A&E channel. And I know they interviewed Shauna Sand. I forgot who else. There's a number of other Playmates for that. So that's something, you know, yeah.
I saw it. Did you see it, Johnny? You should watch that. It's a great interview on you, and you explained everything really well. I thought Shauna's interview was great, too, and I thought they did a really great job. And there's a lot of Playmates who think that these people are bashing Playboy, but I didn't find that to be true at all. You just are telling your story, and your story is truth, and that's your story. It was nothing negative, really. It was just your story. It's really what happened. You're just telling it.
Right. And I think, you know, also from a perspective of current times, obviously, looking at it from with the Me Too movement, it's a completely different world back then. Like I said, things couldn't go on now that went on back then. But again, that was an era, and that's the era we went through, and that was our stories. But the new generation would probably view it very differently now.
Do you think that Hef would have been taken down by somebody somebody would have attempted to? I mean, with all of the fondling and groping and orgies that happened, I mean, it was bound to have happened. So I think he just missed it. He just dodged the bullet on that, right?
The bullet, absolutely. I totally agree with you, yeah.
Well, I'm glad.
This is, like I said, it's an entirely different era, and it's a different generation. But we knew what we were getting into. And,
we sure did know.
Yeah, exactly. And we definitely enjoyed our time in the spotlight, for sure. And it was like an amazing, the golden era of Playboy. And I'm so glad that we were able to be a part of that journey.
Me too. And I'm so glad to hear that coming out of your voice, and I'm so glad to hear all of your success and your beautiful family and these wonderful girls that you've raised and your boy that you're currently raising, and you stay so busy and active and in shape and healthy, and it's been a wonderful time talking to you. And hey, you guys, I had no idea we went over, Johnny, we never went over 39 minutes with anybody before.
No, so far we have the potential, we could go as long as 2 hours.
We're not going to do that to her. She probably got to get going. Maybe she has to feed her kid dinner.
Right.
Well, no, you're on East Coast time, so I'm sure dinner's been over by now, right?
Okay. Yeah. But I'm happy to talk. Like I said, I have a lot to say, and I've had an interesting story, so I'm always happy to chat. And it's wonderful to reconnect. And like I said, it was a wonderful time of my life and your life, and it's always going to be a part of who we are. And I think people are fascinating. In fact, my 17-year-old daughter was funny. She's like, you know, I would pose for Playboy if they still had the centerfold. And, you know, I said, I know. She's like, without the centerfold, it's not fun. I said, I agree. Like, it's like the digital image is just not the same. It's not the same as unfolding, you know, that the huge image, the way you'd open it, in a way it would just unfold. And it's just so magical and so perfect.
Oh,
so
yeah.
That's something that's never going to be repeated again.
No, and you could look at it for hours. It has so many, there's so many details to look at. And, you know, it's tangible. And like you said, it's a work of art.
Yeah, I was friends with one of the biggest Playboy collectors, and he had like 200 centerfolds framed in his house. And I would always walk in, I'm like, they're just so beautiful. He just recently passed away, but he's had at one point every issue of every Playboy that has ever been published in every country.
Oh,
so, yeah,
wow.
He's welcome.
That's cool.
Yeah,
I have all of my international issues in a special spot. What about all of the invitations to the parties? I see on eBay they're going for thousands of dollars now.
Oh, really? Wow, I wish I saved. I never really thought much of that.
Mm-hmm. I found my box. I've saved them. So I'm going to sell a few. I mean, I probably never would have seen them again. I was rummaging through stuff. Or do you think I should save it? Because Echo said, oh, I'm saving mine. I'm going to make some big, gorgeous collage of someday with it. But do you think really somebody's going to miss, like, I mean, a couple of invitations?
I don't know. I mean, they might go up in value even more, you know. The more time goes by, the stuff becomes more and more valuable. That's the fascinating part about it. And, you know, we had, like, our little sculptures and the holograms. And remember, there was all these other lenticular motion. There was all these other things that were so interesting. And I have them somewhere as well packed away. And remember the 8x10 Polaroids?
Yes, I have them.
I unfortunately sold them, and I'm like, I wish I never sold them. They're, like, so unique. They're actually 8x10 Polaroids.
Yes. Do you realize that, Johnny, 8x10 Polaroids? That's how big that camera lens was. Yes. I do have them, but you know what? You sold them because, you know what, that's fine because those will deteriorate after a while.
Yeah, that's true, yeah. But yeah, the Polaroid era is over. Those were fascinating, and they didn't. I remember Michael Ann didn't want me to take. You know, they would number them and keep them, and you would be like sneaking them. Like, can I? I'd be like, Richard, can I have a couple? You're just trying to sneak a few, but they would number them, and
mm-hmm.
keep them. So yeah, it was fascinating.
I have about 10. Because I do remember somebody. It could have been Alexis Vogel who snuck me. All of them,
yeah.
You know.
Well, by
yeah.
the way.
Did you shoot with her ever? Did you get your makeup done by her ever?
No, I wish. No, never.
I was gonna
she
say
was
something.
Amazing. Yeah.
We did one thing on the show where we had a medium on, and he was channeling Alexis Vogel, and we had, like, what, 10 playmates on? You remember that?
Oh, yeah, I was wrangling that many on a radio show. Can you imagine? And it worked. It actually worked. We had 8 playmates on that they wanted to channel Alexis. They loved her so much.
Wow.
Everybody who worked with her, yes.
It was amazing.
To talk to her with the medium. So we were going to do that with Hugh Hefner. Wouldn't that be interesting?
Oh, that's absolutely.
Yeah. Do you want to do it if we do that and be one of the playmates? And we won't obviously tell the psychic any info on anybody or who's going to be on, so they won't be able to research it and see if Hef does say different things to each one. Wouldn't that be
I would love that. That sounds fascinating.
Okay, and you can always call in on Fridays. At the same time, we have a psychic on, and we give free readings for our callers. And, of course, Johnny puts through the Playmates if he notices their number.
Yeah.
And we'll put you through first so you can get your free psychic reading by Psychic Del
Shear. Well, thank you. That sounds cool. Yeah.
But we're going to let you go because, you know, I'm going to probably have to edit this down. It's hard for people to listen to an hour and a half or an hour and 45-minute podcast. It's their attention span isn't that long. So we are going to end the show. But thank you. We want to give you a shout out and tell everybody where to find you. But, you know, on the link on the bottom, we do have your link that you wanted people to know about, which is your OnlyFans link. Do you want to tell everybody your handle? I want to make sure it's the right one.
So it's Legendary Playmate, because my original one was taken or something, so I had to do the Legendary Playmate, but then it just kind of stuck. And I have the same on Instagram and TikTok and Snapchat. And my website is Play Pet Victoria. And because I was both a playmate and a pet, so I kind of combined the two. So I'm a playpetvictoria.com.
That's great. That sounds cute. And I do like the legendary playmate. I like that handle because you know what? You are legendary. So
well,
I'd be proud of that. I would be proud of using that. And you don't have to explain that to anybody because you definitely are. So
well,
thank
you too.
So
I think
with
this era, we're all legendary in some ways, which is kind of neat.
Yes, we all have our own month and year. We're not mean to each other. That was Johnny's question. He thought that maybe we had cat fights and stuff, but no, there's nothing to fight about. Maybe the Playmate of the Year thing they get like that about, but I never did. I was just so happy to
have
my month.
I was more wondering if the pets and the Playmates fought.
I've never really had, but I'm just kind of easygoing, and I keep to myself. I've never really had a fight with anyone. I know that there were some centerfolds, just to combine Playmates and pets, centerfolds that, like, they didn't like certain girls, like some, you know, some there would be some that wouldn't get along with others. But I've never actually witnessed a cat fight, per se. Maybe some, they were like cliques, right? Some would hang with others and maybe be not as friendly. But there were never really fights that I've never witnessed any anyways.
Me neither. Nope. So we are sorority, kind of like sorority sisters, right?
Yeah, I felt it was more like that, absolutely. Like you had your favorites, obviously. You know, like I always hung out with Lynn Thomas. We were like inseparable. And then I had, like I loved Carrie Kendall. She's wonderful. And like like I said, everybody's,
Totally cool person. I love her too. Well, thank you so much for being candid and sharing with us. And these little details I didn't know were very interesting. And I would always see you at GlamourCon, and you had a wonderful, like a helper man that probably was your supportive husband, right?
Yeah, at that time, yeah. Mm-hmm.
How great at that time to have somebody like that and not some jealous guy that was always so encouraging to you and saying, you look just as good as them or better, go for it. And you did. And that's nice. That's kind of what happened with me with the boyfriend. What was that?
I miss GlamourCons. They're really wonderful. And you know who you should definitely have on talking about legendary is Deborah Jo Fondren. She was one of the playmates I loved. And she and I ended up shooting together. We did some beautiful photography. She had that gorgeous long hair.
Oh, yeah.
I think she's in Texas. Yeah, she would be great to have on.
Okay,
because she
I
could talk
will.
About a whole other era.
I will. I'll contact her. We've had some 60s and 70s playmates too, but she was always super nice and friendly to me at GlamourCon.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
She's a sweetheart, yeah.
Mm-hmm. She is legendary with that hair, at just everything, her whole package. Wonderful lady. Okay, well, thanks again. And everybody, go and connect, and we even have to connect on TikTok. I love TikTok.
Yes,
it keeps me up
definitely.
Too late, though.
Yes, absolutely. So, I'll follow you on that. I posted my opinion, so maybe I'll do again. And it was wonderful talking to you, Barbara.
so wonderful talking to you. And thank you, Johnny.
Thank you.
Thanks, Johnny. I appreciate it.
Thanks,
everybody. All right. Bye, everyone.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.